Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. We're going to start in verse 15 and we'll finish in verse 21. Father, Lord, as always, we approach your word with great humility and with a sense of wonder that you would give us your word. And Lord, the true desire that we all have to understand your word and how desperately we need your spirit to reveal the truth in your word to us. And so, Father, I pray that you would speak to us in a wonderful way from your very word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I've been thinking a lot about time lately, how precious time is, and how, quite frankly, every day that we get is a gift from God, and how quick time goes. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been looking through a bunch of old pictures and video clips and music. I'm putting a presentation together for my son, Connor Gray, who's going to be graduating in a month. And a lot of people do that at the graduation parties. They show a presentation. So I've been spending hours trying to sum up his life thus far in a 10-minute video. But I got to tell you, it seems like 10 minutes. How fast time goes and how quickly they grow up. And then 2 weeks ago, I was at Farmington, New Mexico. I was in the pulpit for a friend of mine, Pastor Andy Fine. And he, just a few weeks back, was diagnosed with skin cancer. And he had to have surgery, and it required further exploration. And so I filled in for him, and good news has been received. The surgery was successful. The cancer did not spread. He's cancer-free. But it was a very scary moment for that family, as you can imagine, how everything can just change. And then last weekend, I got to spend time with a very, very dear friend of mine, a best friend of mine since seventh grade. We grew up together. We stayed in touch with each other. We don't see each other often or talk to each other often, but when we do, we catch up. Do you have a friend like that, where it's just like you've never left? He's a wonderful buddy of mine, and a few months ago, he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And so last weekend was his 50th birthday day party, and his wife threw a surprise birthday party for him, and Kim and I were the surprise, as it turns out. It was just us four for the whole weekend sharing some really quality time together. Things are well with him. He's a very successful man financially. He's one of the higher managers of Starbucks, way up in the top levels of that company. And so he's been able to get treatment from all over the world. And by the way, he's found cutting-edge treatment in Germany, getting really good help. And it's a whole other story, but there's a lot that this country doesn't do that could do. So he's doing better. The tumors have decreased, and it looks like they have it together, or they're managing it. They're on a very specialized diet. Kim and I ate raw vegetables and flax oil product all weekend with them. But they're doing much better. But as you can expect, it's going to be a fight. They're going to be fighting to buy time. And so, yeah, I've been thinking a lot about time lately. And it's made me think a lot about our passage here this morning. I've been thinking about this passage, and I want to share it with you. Let's read it. Would you look at Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15? Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Verse 16 uses that very important phrase, redeeming the time. Did you know that time is something that can be redeemed? And that as Christians, we are commanded to redeem time. Now, this Greek word for redeem is a word that means to buy back, to buy out. So in this context, it's speaking of buying back time, taking back time, making the most of time, making the best use of time, buying up all the opportunities afforded to you by time. I want you to think about it this morning. Time really is our most valuable resource, isn't it? And we all have that. If you're here this morning breathing air, you still have time. And it's your most valuable resource. One Christian author characterized time in terms of money. He said, "Pretend every morning when you wake up, there's $86,000 in your bank account. Would you like that? Every morning, $86,000 in your bank account, but it doesn't carry a balance from day to day. You don't use it, you lose it, and it resets every day. What would you do? Well, you draw out every cent every day and try to take full advantage of it." He goes on to say, "Well, you have such a bank, and its name is time. Every morning it credits you with 86,400 seconds. Every night it rules off as lost whatever of this you failed to invest in good purpose. It carries over no balances. It allows no overdrafts. Each day it opens a new account with you. If you fail to use the day's deposit, the loss is yours. There is no going back. There is no drawing against tomorrow." Time, our most valuable resource. And this command to redeem time or to buy back time obviously implies that time can be wasted, right? Time can be squandered. And we have invented many, many ways to waste time in our culture, have we not? Did you know that TV watching is still the number one time killer? And with binge watching, thanks to our friends at Netflix, all the time. How much time do we waste watching make-believe people live make-believe lives on a box as your life just spills away? Or all the social media and all the phones, you know, all the time that's spent, all the Twitters and the all those things. Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook, has built a $400 billion empire almost entirely upon people wasting time. All the leisure, all the laying around. Now, there's nothing wrong with spending some time to relax. Don't get me wrong. Just don't use all of your time doing that. And I think all of us here this morning, we could look in our lives and we could see these pockets of time that we could redeem to use for a better purpose. You know, this idea of redemption, it really is a very powerful concept. It's the idea that you take something that's in a bad state and you move it over here and you turn it into a good state. You grab something and you free it. You make it better. That's redemption. I remember my pastor back home in Albuquerque, when he grew up, he was a big Beatles fan. Loved the Beatles. And so when he got older, he started a little band that did Beatles music with Christian lyrics. That's redeeming the Beatles, right? That's what Christians do. They take things that are being used for bad purpose and they redeem. I'm excited by the way Christians are redeeming some of the movies. You know, there's so many movies out there that are just utterly depraved and we have no business viewing. I'm glad that there are some folks out there that are starting to produce and make movies like I Can Only Imagine. Have you seen that movie yet? That's redeeming art, redeeming music. That's what Jesus does with our lives. He redeems our lives. And as Christians, we should redeem time. Use the time that God has given us wisely. Well, how do we make the best use of time? We all have this time. Look at this passage. It's amazing. It gives us all the activities that we should be involved in. Look at verse 15. Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Now, Paul isn't speaking about a literal walk. He's not speaking about when you get up in the morning and take your dog for a walk. He's speaking symbolically. To walk means the way you live your life from day to day, your normal course of life. And Paul is saying, live your life circumspectly. It's a word that means exactly. It's a word that means mindfully, accurately, cautiously. The Latin word for this speaks of being aware of your surroundings. You're surrounded by all of these things in life, and you navigate it mindfully. You live your life with precision. With deliberate thoughtfulness. And so the idea is planning. You're to be a planner. You're to think through your life. Have you done that? Do you plan? Do you put thought into your career and what you're going to do and all of that? And it's like one of these where you've really thought through what are your life goals, what are your objectives, and every morning you get up and you're presented with opportunities and decisions, and you look at all of these things in life and you choose those things that you value that will help in your overall life goals. As a Christian, it would certainly that be that you would choose those things that would send blessings ahead of you into the next life. Those who think carefully about life don't waste time. Now, there are a lot of people, folks, there are a lot of people who sort of just let life happen to them. There are a lot of people who just sort of drift through life And they're always being influenced by whatever happens to catch their attention from day to day. Let me just ask you, are you a drifter? Or are you a planner? Do you think through life day by day? We should walk circumspectly. This word also speaks of being aware of all the dangers in life. You're looking around your life and there's temptations, there's time killers, there's life killers, there's all these things, all these sinkholes that you might... Do you see them? Are you aware of them? Do you steer clear of them? Walk circumspectly. Look at verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, and I love this, but understand. Listen. Understand what the will of the Lord is. That's on you. That scripture is a command to us as Christians. Your best use of time would be to seek to understand God's will for your life. And this word, understand, I bring it up in the Greek, it's a heavy-duty word. This is a word that's very serious. It means to see all of the individual facts and to be able to put them together in an organized whole. It's like seeing all of the pieces of life and how to put them back together in a puzzle. To see everything from every side. The idea is to gain a comprehensive knowledge of God's will for you. Now, where do we find God's will? We certainly find it in the Bible, don't we? The best use of time, my brother, my sister in Christ, is a study of God's word. Spending your time in the word. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the idea of getting all those pieces, rightly dividing the word of truth, knowing how it fits together. And brother and sister in Christ, listen, that's for all of us. We should all, if your only exposure to God's word is on Sunday morning, I'm glad that you come and I'm glad that you get that. But man, you are missing out on so much if you don't personally engage in God's word. And God's word gives us everything about life, the theology, philosophy, everything practical. Think about all you learn from God's word, finances, marriage, relationship, career. All right where the rubber meets the road in life, you get wisdom from God's word. Do you spend any time in it? Seek that. Now, I also believe that God's word teaches us that God has a special plan for each one of our lives. There's a will for you. There's a mission. If you're a Christian, there's a mission for you on this planet. We're told in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Do you realize God has a call on your life? There's a mission. That would certainly involve your career, how you spend your time, maybe what ministry you get involved in, the talents God's given you, the spiritual gifts that God's given you, where you fit in the body of Christ. You have that. You have a calling upon your life. Do you know it? It was Mark Twain who said, "The two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why." Have you found out why? You know who gives the why? God. You say, "Well, God hasn't shown me." Hey, listen, have you sought him? I promise God has something for you, and it's not like he's up there saying, "Oh, I'm going to keep that from them." He wants to use your life. The problem is most of us don't bother to ask. We don't seek. We make our own decisions in life. We live our lives without including God. And I'll tell you what, when you find out what God's will is for you, oh, it opens up life. I can confidently tell you this morning that I have found God's will for my life. And it is the greatest joy of my life. And there were lots of different paths I could have taken through life. God sent me here. God put me in the ministry. Have you found God's path for you? It's available. Let's keep going. Look at verse 18. Here's a big negative. "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation." Do not be drunk with wine. I could also add, do not be drunk with beer. Do not be drunk with vodka. Do not be drunk with any form of alcoholic beverage. I could also add this, do not be stoned. Do not get high. And I could also put it like this. Don't be a drunkard. Don't be a bar hopper. Don't be a party animal. That is a time killer. By the way, it's also a life killer. You get yourself all caught up in that stuff, and you will waste years of your life, and you will lessen your life by years. Don't do that. Proverbs 23 says, "Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine." Those who go in search of mixed wine. Now I realize in our society it's all over the place. The whole party thing. Do it, man. Just get out there and have fun. And everything makes it look all glamorous. I always laugh at the beer commercials where you have all these beautiful women in bikinis on beaches drinking beer and these big studs walking around. If you drink a lot of beer, you don't look like that. The more beer you drink, the uglier and fatter you're going to get. Don't buy the lie. The world says invest in that. Have all kinds of fun in that. Spend your life doing that. It's a time waster. It's a time waster. It'll take away valuable time from your life. A member of Alcoholics Anonymous once sent columnist Ann Landers the following. I've kept it. Somebody gave it to me years ago. This person says, "We drank for happiness and became unhappy. We drank for joy and became miserable. We drank for sociability and became argumentative. We drank for sophistication and became obnoxious. We drank for friendship and made enemies. We drank for sleep and awakened without rest. We drank for strength and felt weak. We drank medicinally and acquired health problems. We drank for relaxation and got the shakes. We drank for bravery and became afraid. We drank for confidence and became doubtful. We drank to make conversation easier and slurred our speech. We drank to feel heavenly and ended up feeling like hell. We drank to forget and were forever haunted. We drank for freedom and became slaves. We drank to erase problems and saw them multiply. We drank to cope with life and invited death. There's a true consumer of alcohol's confession. Be very careful with that. The positive is, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be what? Be filled with the Spirit. Oh, my brother and sister in Christ, be filled with the Spirit. You know, the moment that you gave your life to Jesus Christ, the moment you said yes to Him, your body became a temple of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit lives in you. Now, here it says to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the idea is to keep on being filled with the Spirit. And we're told several times in the New Testament, as Christians, be filled with the Holy Spirit. What's going on there? Well, I like to think of our bodies when we receive Jesus Christ as a cup that gets filled to the top with the Holy Spirit. We're all filled with the Holy Spirit, but the filling is when the water keeps pouring and the water bubbles out, and where the Holy Spirit's power overflows our lives. Bubbles over. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be dependent upon Him, to be controlled by Him, to be aware of Him. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be under the influence of the Spirit, not alcohol. Under His influence. That's the idea. Let me tell you, I think the best use of time for us as a Christian, every morning you get up and you spend some wonderful time with your Lord, and you spend some time in prayer, and you spend some time in His Word, and every morning you ask Him to fill you and control you and use you that day. Let me tell you, being filled with the Holy Spirit creates a much more adventurous life than being filled with alcohol. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. He will take you into uncharted territory. He will use your life. He will challenge you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 19 and 20. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here, listen, one of the best ways to spend time is to worship God and to thank Him. And there's both public, corporate worship in mind here and private worship. Corporately, Christians, we get together at a church service and we sing songs together. It says that. We sing songs together. We encourage one another. It is so important to do that regularly, to make that a regular part of your life. That moment where we all get together as the body of Christ and we worship God. You know, we come together week after week, and we all come from different views, different ways of lifestyle, and we're all struggling with all these different kinds of things in life, and there's all these issues that we're all struggling with. But we come, and for a half an hour, we're of one accord, and we have set everything else apart, and as a body, we worship God. It's like our battle cry. How important that is to be a part of that. How uplifting that is. And how important that is for all of us as a congregation. And then we should also worship and thank God privately. I've always liked that last phrase of verse 19. It says, making melody in your, where? Heart to the Lord. So if you can't carry a tune, Make the melody in your heart. Sing in your heart. Express your worship to Him. Do it at church. Do it in your private life. Do it in your private devotions. Do it in your as you're driving to work in the morning, as you're driving home. May your mind be filled with who God is and worship Him and be thankful for who He is. Don't waste a moment of your life complaining. Not a moment. It's a time killer. You know, I've noticed that people who, they complain a lot. And we all know the chronic complainers, don't we? They're the ones we dodge. You know the one that always comes and there's always something wrong. You know, something had to have happened in that person's life where they just started complaining a little bit and then eventually it just sort of took over. And so they're known as the chronic complainer. Don't be known that way. Be the chronic worshiper. And let me tell you, it impacts your attitude, doesn't it? It impacts the attitude that you have as a human being. The Bible says, use your time worshiping the Lord. And then look at verse 21. Very important. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Did you know that the Bible teaches that as Christians, we are to submit to one another? Let me put it like this. As a Christian, you are to submit to all the other people in your life. All of them. This is the Greek word hupotasso. It means to be arranged under, to be ordered under. It's like a military rank, okay? You have officers, you have a line of command, right? Chain of command. And certain people are other under. There's those that are under rank. Well, as Christians, we are to see ourselves as under rank to everybody. Now, you might say, well, does that mean that there's no authority structure? And some people actually argue from this text. Paul is saying there's no authority structure. Of course not. There's authority structure. No doubt about it. What Paul is speaking about is in your everyday dealing with people, no matter who you are, you bring an under rank attitude. You consider others better than yourselves. You're not the guy who shoves your weight around. In other words, use your time loving people. Valuing people, serving people, respecting people. You know, it's been said you are never more like Jesus than when you are serving other people. You're never more like Jesus than when you're serving other people. Carry that humility with you in life. Life is so short. Time goes so quickly. It really is. It's about people, isn't it? And certainly you need to spend quality time with your spouse and your children and make an effort to love people. Redeem the time. Paul says, live your life circumspectly. Paul says, seek to understand God's will for your life. Paul says, don't be a drunkard. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul says, spend your time worshiping and thanking God. And Paul says, spend your time being good to other people. Loving other people. Submitting to other people. Let me tell you, if we do that, at the end of our lives, we'll look back and nailed it. Nailed it. You want that? Christian author told this story, and I think it applies to this message. He writes, "I was driving down a bumpy country road when I saw a bag of cement beside the road. It appeared to have fallen off a delivery truck as it hit one of those bumps in the rough road. Being a person who does not like to see anything wasted, I stopped to pick up the lost bag of cement. When I reached down to pick up this heavy bag, to my surprise, I discovered it was not soft and limber as I had expected, but had solidified into an immovable piece of cement." He goes on to say, "Often our lives are like that bag of cement. They take on shapes that were not intended and become hardened in that shape. That bag of cement was meant to become part of some beautiful structure because it did not reach its place of service. It became a useless rock in the form of a bag of cement. God wants to make something beautiful of your life. Don't let that purpose be thwarted by wasting the time God has given to you." Amen? Father, I thank you for this wonderful reminder and how often we need to be reminded. And I thank you for the reminders, the personal reminders you've given me just over the last couple of weeks. Oh, how short life is, Lord. And yet, how important every day is. How this life matters for the next life. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts in love. Lord, I pray there be no condemnation or guilt here, but in love. Help us, Lord, to take back time. Speak to each one of us, Lord. And Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who has not yet made the decision to invite you to be the Lord of their lives. You know, you might be here this morning and you've never made that decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And maybe you sit here with a life that you would admit is a waste. It's a mess. Maybe you're worried about what happens. Grab hold of truth here this morning. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus has died for you, and he has risen again, and your sins can be washed away. And if you invite him to be your Savior, you will become a child in his family. He will take ownership of your life and show you the purpose for your life. All of your sins will be forgiven. You get a brand new start. If you've never done that, I want you to do that right now. If that's you, you pray this prayer with me right now. Say, "Lord, right now, in this moment, at this time, I willingly, completely open my heart to you. I invite you, Lord Jesus, to be my Savior, my Master, my King. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. rising again, wash away all my sins. Put me in your family. Give me purpose. Take my life and use it for your glory. Let's stand together.